right, grab your Bible and your handout and the pen. We're going to Ecclesiastes 8. So if you want to get down on that, that'd be cool. There's two notes just to start for today. Note number one is, there are two notes of proudness, all right? There's proud papa moments for me that happen every once in a while. So proudness number one comes in the orphanage. And the reason that's a big deal for us is we built two orphanages in 3 years, which is super lejito, which is legit in Spanish. I just made it up. But if there's two orphanages in 3 years we built. And so that's just, I mean, most of your demographic is trying to build their own kingdom, and we're rescuing widows and orphans. So that's super legit. The second one is if you've been around the family for a while, you know that we've been doing media fast forever, like an Outkast song. And so the media fast has since come out of here and gone into the sanctuary, and the primary reason is because it was successful in here. And so just want to send huge shout-outs to everybody who's done media fast in the past, that they're super, super cool. So there's two things on the media fast. One, we got this little coupon book at the information desk. It's just a way for you to spend your days. We've got a couple different ideas in there. Super legit. This isn't like a little kid's activity book, all right? So it's not like you're going to open it up and see color the sun. There are really cool things in there, all right? And the other one is a reading plan that we've got this little card. You can tuck it into a Bible and get ready to roll there, all right? So Ecclesiastes 8, where we're at. If you haven't joined us before, Ecclesiastes is a book by this guy named Solomon. He was king of Israel about 3,000 years ago. Solomon gets a lot of power, a lot of money, a lot of access, and then leads a really wicked life. When he gets old, he repents on all of that and says, these are the things that I would tell you if I could look back on young me and tell young me what old me knows, all right? And so there's, in the beginning, man, when we started this, there wasn't a lot of really happy days. Like even Tyler and I were talking about it last week, and he said, man, for like the first 5, 6, 7 months, it just felt like every night was unhappy. And so now we're coming out of unhappiness, and there starts to be a little bit more joy. And so one of the things about tonight is hopefully we're going to blow up some misconceptions. And if that's true, then you've got a lot of wisdom that you can lead that'll give you a long, happy life. Now, you should be asking the question, why should I listen to Solomon tonight if he's 3,000 years old? We don't listen to a lot of 3,000-year-old people. So here's just some things we put as far as tonight goes. We're dealing with authority and influence. And so you're always going to be in authority or under authority for the rest of your life. So it's important for you to know how it works. The second would be that you're going to deal with people in authority who you're going to disagree with. Is that a shocker? Your parents and teachers. Easy. And then you're also going to have people disagree with you when you're in authority. And so Solomon is going to kind of paint a picture for how we handle that. All right. So if you want to open up to Ecclesiastes 8, there's a Bible under your chair you can use. It's on page 473. If you don't own a Bible, you can keep the one that's under your chair. And we're going to read 9 verses tonight and get ready to rock. All right. So here's what we say. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything, although a man's trouble lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. All this I observed while applying my heart to all that is done under the sun, when man had power over man to his hurt. All right, so we've got this thing at the bottom of your handout called a bottom line. And if you get nothing else from tonight, we want you to get this. The bottom line for tonight is that I'm not responsible, but I can influence. I'm not responsible, but I can influence. And I know some of you are irresponsible. This has nothing to do with you. But I'm not responsible, but I can influence. All right, so we're going to kind of keep coming back to that phrase tonight, responsibility, influence, because all that has to deal with authority. We share Ecclesiastes or 2 Timothy 3 every week we start here, because 2 Timothy 3 says all of the scriptures, so all of the Bible, is breathed out by God. It teaches us, it trains us, it causes us to grow. It'll correct us sometimes, which is true for tonight, that all of us would be able to grow in godliness and we'd be complete for everything God's called us to do. Now, I'm going to give you something called the best marriage advice you've never heard. The reason you've never heard it, because you're not married. Also, the reason is because most people don't talk about marriage like this. So here's something Rachel and I, my wife, we learned when we went through some marital counseling. It was good counseling, so, I mean, don't think we're on the rocks. But here's what it said. You are responsible for your own thoughts, actions, beliefs, and behaviors. All right, so track with that. You are responsible for your own thoughts, actions, beliefs, and behaviors. You are not responsible for other people's thoughts, actions, beliefs, and behaviors. But you can influence other people's thoughts, actions, beliefs, and behaviors. So here's the end of the day. No one is making you do anything. And I hope you track with that. Like, there's not anything you're being made to do. Now, even if someone is, like, coercing you, saying you need to do this, need to make that happen, at the end of the day, you make a choice to do that thing, right? So no one is physically forcing you to go mow the yard, right? Like, no one is walking with you, duct taping your hands to the lawnmower and causing you to push, right? Maybe that does happen. I'll call protective services, but you're responsible for your own thoughts, actions, beliefs, and behaviors. So no one can cause you to think a certain way, right? So if you get angry, nobody made you angry. And I hope that that just starts to ding in your brain, because you cannot be made to be angry. You can become angry, but you're not made to be. And you're not responsible for what other people do. So if someone says, you made me, you can't make somebody do something. That's a willing choice. But the end of it, we say, is that you can't influence, right? So I can influence Tyler to become angry, but I'm not making Tyler angry. And there's a huge distinction between the two of them. He says sometimes I make him angry, but he chooses that, all right? So you are responsible for you. You're not responsible for others, but you can influence others, all right? And here's what we've got, just a little statement we're going to put up there. At the end of the day, leadership is influence. Now, I don't know if any of you think of yourself as a leader, but here's what I'd say. If you influence anybody, that's leadership. And by having leadership, you're influencing, all right? So if you have influence, you're a leader. You lead those above you. So you have the opportunity to lead those in higher positions of authority. You have the ability to lead people who are on equal ground with you, and you have the opportunity to lead people beneath you. And so for tonight, we get to talk about leadership and all of that stuff, which is a huge love and passion for me. Tyler may not sing tonight, is all I'm saying. All right, so here's some common myths about leadership and influence. The first one is a management myth. And what it says about management myth, and if you have a job, you're going to preach this, all right? Just because someone is a manager does not mean that they're a leader. All right, management means to maintain things, all right? So if you're a manager of Brahms, your job is to maintain that Brahms, right? You do not have the opportunity to change the direction of Brahms as a manager. So someone at Brahms is not going to say, we're tired of the hamburger business and the ice cream business. We're now going to get into hot dogs. That doesn't happen at Brahms. Does Brahms make hot dogs? No. Yes. Okay. So that being true, like, someone's not going to say, we're done making hamburgers. What are they supposed to do? Maintain the fact that Brahms makes hamburgers. Maintain the fact that Brahms makes ice cream. And maintain the fact that there's a certain way to get it done. That's management. So you can keep a direction, but you can't change a direction. So that management does not mean leadership. The second would be an entrepreneur myth. An entrepreneur is somebody who is a salesman, a talker. They have the ability to start stuff. It comes out in business. But just because somebody is a really good talker does not mean that they're a leader. Like, you've gotten around people who have a way with words, but it doesn't mean that anybody's following the words that they say, right? So some of you feel like you're just really witty, like you can get your way out of anything, right? You've just got game that you can talk out of whatever. Your parents will get you cornered, and you're like, I am never in a corner. I use words, right? So you may feel that way, but if no one is following you, then you're not a leader, even if you talk a good game, all right? One of the greatest game talkers ever would be Josh Poland. And the reason he's a great game talker, bow, is because he always tries to talk trash specifically to me, right? And when that happens, there's been a lot of times where Josh has gotten himself into trouble because he's talked trash to me and then tried to talk his way out of the trash he's gotten into, all right? That's entrepreneurial, all right? So bow. All right, the next one would be knowledge. And so the highest knowledge level does not mean somebody's a leader, right? So if you're the smartest person, it doesn't mean that people are following you. And you probably recognize that in your high school, that there are some incredibly smart people that no one's following. You will someday, like when they own a company that's worth $100 billion, you'll follow them then, but you're probably not following them now. You're probably a jerk to them because you're like, no one follows you, right? So when they start getting fat money and you are working for them, you know what they're going to do? Who's following now? All right, that's the knowledge myth. So just because you're smart doesn't mean you're a leader. The next one would be a pioneer myth. And just because someone's in front doesn't make them a leader. So you may not look at me as a leader, but I'm up front and I've got a microphone and I talk. So because I have a mic and I'm up front doesn't make me a leader. That there's a big difference. Now, leaders always have to be out front, right? Like, you can't lead from the middle. Hey, you guys, turn left. No one leads that way, all right? So leaders have to be out front, but people have to follow you if you are out front, and that's leadership. And then the last one would be position. And so just because you have the highest position does not make you a leader. There are a lot of companies that have failed because the guy at the top wasn't a leader. All right, so that's just some myths about leadership and some things that you may even be saying like, hey, I'm not a leader for whatever reason. Now, here's the deal. If leadership ultimately is influence, then there's a way that influence happens. And we're going to put the law of influence on the screen. It's from this book called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by this dude named John Maxwell. We're teaching in the internship if you want to come hang. So here's how influence works. The first way you influence people is by your character. That's who you are. So your character influences people. The second is your relationships and who you know. So you have the ability to influence people by who you know. The next would be your knowledge by what you know. The fourth would be your intuition by what you feel. So you kind of get that feeling. You're like, man, you guys, I feel like this. That's intuition. That can help with influence. Your experience, where you've been, what you've done. So you may be able to say, listen, you guys, I've done it like this before. I have driven a car. Trust me, right? That's experience. Past success. You could say, I've actually driven a car successfully. You can ride with me, all right? So that's past success. And then ability, what you can do, I can tend into and shift, jump in the car. All right, so those are all a reflection of influence, and that's the way that people, when they look at you, those things are going to be the way by which they're going to say, either I'm going to listen to them or I'm not. And so Solomon is going to cast some light on authority. He's going to give us some insight as it relates to influence and wisdom, and we're just going to kind of walk through Ecclesiastes 8 a little bit and party. So here's verses 1 to 5. Evan's going to throw it on the screen for you. It says, who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. And so the first blank we've got for you up at the top is this, that in terms of leadership, authority, and dealing with it, the first thing you need to do is pick your battles. All right, so first one is pick your battles. Now, as young people, and I'm saying I'm young, you may not think I'm young, I'm not 30 yet, so I still feel young, but as young people, one of the things that's true for us is every argument is a hill worth dying on. So if you're right, it's worth you going to battle for it, all right? So a hill dying on is when you say, all right, that thing is worth me taking a stand and I don't care who dies in the process. Now, it may not be a literal death. Hopefully you're not literally killing people in arguments, but you can kill friendships based on arguing some stuff out. Man, and I saw some drama at Glendale today about some people getting snippy with each other. All right, they needed to learn to pick their battles. And so what was it? This girl sat down at a table, and this other girl sat like four chairs away. And the girl was like, you shouldn't be sitting at this table. And I'm saying she said it like that. All right, I'm not trying to make you laugh. She was like, you should not be sitting at this table. And the girl was like, I could sit where I want. And I was like, woo, you see that head bob? I was like, she's getting at her like a chicken. So you see that these girls start jawing back and forth at each other, right? And so you just see bop, 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 bop. Okay, just a word to the wise. There are administrators who see that garbage. So it's not like you can just start talking real loud like, you got me sitting at this table, and everybody's going to be oblivious. Okay, so on them descend leaders like hawks. So the administration kind of handles that. But what happened? A girl sat four chairs away, and this girl was like, we about to go to war about this. Okay, so not every argument is worth you dying in, all right? So there's going to be things at which you just got to let some stuff go, and you need to pick some different battles. Now, what Solomon says is that in picking battles, here's what he did. Solomon lived in a world where kings had unquestioned power and authority. So you didn't check a king ever. Like, you didn't walk into the king's room and be like, yo, king, you're a moron. Why? Because you would have died. And so what he said is that even in that moment that he had unquestioned power, he could say, I want to kill 1,000 people today. And they would say, who do you want to do that? Send the army. What 1,000 you want to kill? I don't know, just pick 1,000 people. Keep a head count. That's how it would go. And he just was able to say, go do it. Some of you live and exist in spheres and in realms where it feels like people have unquestioned power and authority. School and your house. So what happens when you're in those places, and what do you do with wisdom and influence and authority? How do you handle that stuff? So we just got a couple things we're throwing on the screen for you. First, wisdom has the opportunity to change stubborn arrogance.
Okay, so wise people have the ability to guide someone who's being stubbornly arrogant. So stubborn, not willing to change. Arrogant, I am absolutely right. So if you're wise and you use wisdom, you have the opportunity to change stubborn arrogance. And so if you've got, I'm not saying you have parents like this, but if you have parents who are stubbornly arrogant, you probably think that, they may not. You probably have teachers who you would feel are stubbornly arrogant. If you use wisdom, you have the opportunity to change that. The second one is, no one wants to find out they're naked. That coming from verse 2, that's a paraphrase. If you showed up in a room and all of a sudden were naked, that's a bit awkward, right? Like if I was in here naked, that's awkward. I'm sorry for the mental picture, truly. But if I all of a sudden was like, and I'm naked, okay, that's a bad deal. And no one wants to have opportunities where they realize somebody could have stopped them, right? Like if I was walking out of the house naked, I want my wife to correct that. Like, I don't want to go like, oh, babe, I'm good right now. I'll see ya. I want her to kind of, with wisdom, correct me from walking outside naked. One, it's going to be really cold. Two, it's going to be hecka awkward, right? So, I mean, you imagine, I'm just at the gas station, black owl. That's okay. So no one wants to be there, all right? There it is. The third is that you can win an argument, and you can still lose, all right? So has there ever been a moment where you were absolutely right and felt like crap afterwards? That's you winning and still losing. And here's the world I'm going to blow up for you. Marriage is going to show you that all the time. Like for me, I can have moments where I'm stubbornly arrogant. Shocker. Okay, so there's these moments where I'm like, oh, fuego, I got it. So there's times where Rachel will be, well, she'll just say this, you win. Now, I didn't win right there. Right? Like that is a bomb. She's just sealed a little nuclear bomb in my brain and said, Justin, you win. Right? And she didn't say it like that. She may even be really sweet. Justin, you win. You win. And then what happens for me, I can feel the loss. Like I can feel internally like, oh, I did not win right now. So what do? Man, I try to scramble, trying to figure out, because even though she said, you win, like she's conceding victory, she's still winning right now. Like she has won in my win. Okay, so you've got into arguments and situations where someone would say, fine, you win, and you have absolutely lost. All right, so there's an opportunity with you with wisdom and influence and authority that you could win the argument and still absolutely lose. Questioning authority is a dangerous deal. If you work a job and you start calling out your manager, it could be dangerous. Why? Because he could say, I'm tired of the mouthy one. Send him on. That's dangerous. You just lost a job. Questioning your parents isn't a good idea because you could lose everything, right? They could just start taking stuff. And my mom was notorious for that. Like when there came a point where I was taller than my mom and stronger than my mom. But those of you who have been around for a while know my mom works for special forces. So though I'm taller and stronger, she could beat the junk out of me. All right. So what my mom would do whenever it would come time that I'm like 17 and she needed to discipline me, she would just start taking stuff. Like I would go to get my car keys. And I would be like, where are my car keys at? She's like, oh, you remember last night when you were jacking around and like questioning me? I've got your keys. You can walk. I'm like, Mom, I've got to walk a mile and a half. She's like, I think there's a bike out back. And I'm like, Mom, the tires are flat. She's like, wouldn't you know it? I bought an air pump. Like, so my mom didn't jack around. So to question authority, even if you're in school, right, to start calling out teachers is not wise of you. Like, and I don't know how every school does it, but they have an opportunity to write a little thing and send you to an office that it could get real, real fast. And you've got that thing called ISS and OSS. Yee. All right, so that's dangerous. And eventually, you could no longer be allowed to attend that school. Dangerous, all right? And so the final thing that he brings out is that as it relates to wisdom and influence and authority, obedience, so just being able to say, I'm under authority, and timing are extremely important in how you handle situations, right? So one of the things you need to learn is even if you're right and even if you need to have it said, you might not be saying it at the right time, right? That there could be all kinds of opportunities for you to say that, but saying it right then is going to cause you some problems. So if you're there, you right now should be asking the question, so how do I deal with a person in authority who's wrong? Like if I'm looking at them and they're absolutely wrong, and I know you're going to say everybody's wrong but you, but how do you deal with people in authority who are wrong, and how do you speak to that? And Solomon was kind of leading us there with verse 5, so we're going to throw 5 and 6 on the screen. And they say this, whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper way and the just way, for there is a time and a way for everything, although man's troubles lie heavy on him. So we've got a string of blanks there for you, and it's this, that the right thing plus the right time plus the right way equals right. All right, so the right thing, whatever you want to be right about, going about it at the right time and doing it the right way is when you're right. All right, so right thing, right time, right way, right. Think, time, way. Now, last summer, if you were here with us, we did this series called Just Ask. We had you submit questions over the spring, and then we took the summertime to address all those questions. Specifically, a large number of the questions we got had to deal with authority, so we put a panel of people together to answer that question, and so we'll throw up who that panel was. Pastor Allen, who's our middle school pastor, he was on that panel. Andrew Bath, who's a police officer, he's actually here tonight, so if you want to jack around tonight, that's a bad idea. All right, so he's here. He's dressed, so you'll know him. Mary Beth King was a counselor, and then Beulah Hill worked in the prison system. She actually worked here in town, and Beulah is a woman who would smoke you. Like, Beulah is a strong woman, all right? And she's not very strong physically, but Beulah is strong. All right, so we put all of them up there because it was a good opportunity for you to deal with people in authority. You ever had problems with cops? Okay, so what do you do with cops? Because I bet having an officer come up to the car and you roll down the window and say, I think you're stupid for pulling me over, probably ain't going to go well. You've had an opportunity with school counselors and other people to interact, so Mary Beth kind of spoke to that. And Beulah is in a world that is authority. Like, when you go to prison, everything is authority. All right? Even prisoners deal with authority. Like, there's certain prison rules that if you commit certain crimes, prisoners are going to kill you. Because they're the worst people on the planet, but they consider you to be the worst of the worst, and they will kill you, right? That's authority, right? So one of the principles we brought out when dealing with authority was this, that if you do the right thing the wrong way, you're wrong. If you do the wrong thing the right way, you're wrong. If you do the right thing the right way at the wrong time, you're wrong. The only way to be right is to do the right thing the right way at the right time, right? So right thing, wrong way. You could have an absolutely right thing in your brain. Like, you say, I am right on this issue. If you go about screaming and yelling and ridiculing somebody because they're not right, that's the wrong way. You're going to end up being wrong. If you have the wrong thing, like, you're just wrong, and you absolutely do it the right way, being kind and sincere and leading somebody in, you're still going to be wrong. If you have the right thing and you say it the right way, but you do it at the wrong time, like when your mom just walked in from a bad day of work, you can still be wrong. So the only time you get the opportunity to be right is if you do the right thing, the right way, at the right time in order to be right. And again, we'll put this phrase up there. You can win and still lose. All right, so the only way that you're going to get to the place is when that comes out win-win. All right, and that's a great thing in relationships. It's a great thing in marriage. It's a great thing with authority when everybody comes out win-win. Right, so when you're right and they come out feeling like, hey, that person's right, but I don't hate them right now. Like, I actually don't want to punch that guy in the face, even though he's right. And there's been plenty of opportunities where you've been in win situations and you've lost it. So the only way to come out is with win-win. And so influence and leadership are about learning the right thing, going about it the right way, and doing it at the right time. Only then can we say that we're doing that thing right. Now here's what verses 7 and 8 say. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? No man has the power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. And so the next blank we've got for you is who knows? Who knows? And so here's just the easy way on even you being right. Okay, so we're dealing with you being right and you dealing with somebody who's wrong if they're in a position of authority. Even if you're right, you don't know if it's going to be right tomorrow, right? We all, yeah? So there's even the idea, the sun is supposed to come up tomorrow. But it might not, right? Like, what if the sun exploded a couple thousand years ago? I think that's how long it would take. Or hours ago? I don't know. You can tell I'm really awesome at science, right? So there would be, huh? How long, Nick?
8 minutes.
8 minutes ago. Okay, so you wake up, and you're like, 8 minutes of sun, and the next thing you know, there is no sun, right? That absolutely could happen. Could, and probably not, but it could, right? There could be all kinds of things that go on tomorrow. So you could go into your house and you could be absolutely right. This is going to happen, but what if it doesn't? And so even one of the things about being right is being able to have humility in your correctness. And being able to say, man, I understand that I'm right here. I'll give you the opportunity that I could be wrong. And in every opportunity where I've interacted with somebody and they've been right, and I say, hey, man, Justin, I might be wrong on this, but here's why I want to say something. I receive that right better than when they're like, I'm going to tell you something. I am not wrong, and let me tell you the truth. It's way easier to say, hey, I may be off on this, or I may be missing this a little bit, but here's what I want to tell you. I'll receive that wisdom a lot better than an arrogant fool who tells me there's no way they're going to be off. All right, so we don't know everything, and we're often bold in conversation because we think everything's going to work out the way it always has. If you figured anything out about living right now, nothing goes the way it's supposed to all the time. There's just some random junk that happens. You're like, where did that come from? You're going to drive a car that's just going to blow up one day. I mean, not literally, but the engine is absolutely going to explode. And you're going to be like, how did that happen? Right, I was driving down 44 up to St. Louis to go to a Braves and a Cardinals game. I'm a Braves fan because they're better than the Cardinals. And so here's what happened. I was driving and a hose in my car exploded. I didn't know this because at that time I was still single. And at that time I had really loud subwoofers in my car. Right, so I was just dumping bass on the highway. And I didn't know that a hose exploded. And then I looked down at my car and saw that it was overheating, like when you peg the needle and it's on hot and the engine light's on, not good signs. So I turn the music off and I'm like, oh, my car is not doing good right now. Right, check engine light. Your car is not doing good right now. So I pushed on the gas and nothing happened, which is a really bad deal because when you push on the gas of your car, something is supposed to happen, right? So I pulled over and I found out that when I exploded that hose, that was putting radiator fluid into my car and antifreeze, which was causing my car to cool down. My car stopped cooling down. It got really hot and it shot a piece of the engine through another piece of the engine. Boom. Okay, so my engine is gone, right? So there I was like, I thought I was going to make it to St. Louis that day, and I didn't, right? So I could say, we're going to St. Louis, and the Braves are going to win. Braves did win that day, but I didn't get there, and that's how we don't know ultimately. So what we're going to throw up on the screen, who really knows if that's true, whatever you're saying you're right about? Who knows what's going to be? Like, who knows what's going to – you don't know what's going to happen in 15 minutes, right? Like a meteor could hit this room. It's happened, right? The power could go out. Happened during the Super Bowl, which was super lame, right? But no one went to the Super Bowl like, you know what's going to happen? Beyonce is going to so shut that thing down that that room was not ready for her jelly, and it is just going to power out, right? Like, no one knew that that was going to happen. And then who knows what's going to be, right? Who knows? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know how it's going to go, and you don't know how it's going to work. So the reason you don't know is because as a human being, you're limited. Here's some ways you're limited. The first, you can't control the wind. Right? There's a couple X-Men who can do that, but you can't. So you're not able to go like, hey, I'm just going to start moving the wind around. And you can't catch wind, in case you haven't noticed. And I'll just say, once 8:30 comes and we let you go, take a brisk jog and see if you can catch some wind. Probably not going to work out well. The second is that you're unable to prevent death. So if your day comes, final destination, you ain't stopping it. Now, in a series in 2010, we shared some of the last quotes that people had before they died, all right? It was a series called Just Ask. We talked about heaven and hell and all of that. Not Just Ask, What The? Because, you know, what the happens when you go to heaven and what the happens when you go to the afterlife. Okay, so there were some different quotes we shared of these are the last phrases people said. Pope Alexander VI said, wait a minute, couldn't stop it. Max Baer said this, oh God, here I go. What a way, right? John Barrymore said this, die? I shall not, dear fellow. No Barrymore would allow such a conventional thing to happen to him. Dead. Oscar Wilde said this, either this wallpaper goes or I do. He did. Which, man, if your wife is going to kill you over wallpaper, yeah, okay. Pancho Villa said this, don't let it end like this. Tell them I said something. And that's what they told us. And Charlie Goldman said this, only suckers get hit with right hands. Which, that's the way I want to go, right? Like, who knows how old I'm going to be. And if I have the opportunity to say last words, like, I want to be able to go, only suckers get hit with right hands. And there it goes. So you can't prevent death. Those guys couldn't prevent even just having, like, their last words. I don't think Charlie wanted to go out like that. Maybe he did. But I don't think that's the way he wanted it to go. So since you can't prevent death, that's a limitation. You're unable to get out of a battle. So if you went to war, right, you can't call time out, right? So Solomon lived in an age where dude had like swords and shields and horses and chariots. So nobody was able to like ride on their horse and then realize, oh, that guy's got a bigger spear than I do, and go, time out, you guys, time out. Hold on, bathroom break. Anybody? Can I? All right, I'll be back, right? That didn't happen. So you can't get out of battles. So like, as it relates to authority, you're going to be in the trenches of a fight, and you're not just going to be able to go, whoa, time out. Because you realized you've probably gotten to the place where emotions are high and everybody's just at, and you just can't go, time out. I'm out. Okay, and then the last one was that someone who's evil is unable to deliver themselves. So someone who's evil can't save themselves from the evil they're putting themselves in. And so since we can't control anything, our wisdom is limited because you don't have the ability to control everything. So at the end of the day, your wisdom is going to be finite or limited because you can't do it. So even if you're confident that you're right, a lot of things could happen, right? Like things could happen. You say, man, I know I'm right. I know it. And then you, in turn, could be wrong. And that's what happens. Because we're limited, that's where we end up being. And that's why we say, man, even if you're absolutely right, there's a lot of things that could go wrong. And learning humility when dealing with authority to say, man, I could be off on this, but here's what I want to tell you, will give you great ability going forward. All right, so we're going to read the last verse 9, that says this, and this is how we'll finish Ecclesiastes. And it's really familiar. Solomon has said this a ton of times. He says, all this I observed while applying my heart to know all that is done under the sun, when man had power over man to his hurt. And so he just said, man, I've been using wisdom, been using insight, I've been looking to the world. That's what I came up with and observing that. Now, what we've said the whole time, you can't really argue with Solomon about a lot. Like, I think even if you don't believe the Bible tonight, you're looking at that going, that all sounds true. So if that's true, then how do we respond? What does the gospel say to that? How do we put some Jesus lens on all those issues? So open up to James 3, and that's where we're going to be. So James 3, verses 13 to 18. That's kind of how we'll take Jesus, and we'll just put a little Jesus on some Ecclesiastes. All right, so James 3, it's on page 870. It says this. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the blank that we've got there for you is that leadership is influence. We've said that before, but that leadership is influence. And so James 3 is talking about influence. How, as a believer in Jesus, do you lead and do you influence? And so James brings out what we can call foolish influence, all right? So there are some very foolish ways to try to influence or lead people. The first one would be by bitterness. Bitterness isn't a good leadership quality. If you're leading from bitterness, right, then you're not going to be able to lead very far that way. And so some of the times you see with sports athletes that they play angry, that they have this like chip on their shoulder, you can only carry a chip for so long before you just can't run on that strength. So if you start to get bitter in your soul and you start to see like your character and your conduct starting to change, it's going to be really hard for you to lead people very far because bitterness, a lot of people don't want to follow somebody who's just really bitter and unhappy. Like you don't just want to see somebody who's just mad at the world and go like, gosh, I just want to follow the mad guy. Oh, it just looks so awesome. He's so angry all the time. Let's do that. The next one is jealousy. Jealousy is a really bad way to lead because all you're doing is comparing yourself against somebody else and going like, ooh, isn't it bad to be them? Yeah. And we're gonna, ooh, I hate them. Let's go do something else, right? That's the jealousy in you. And jealousy is only gonna last so long because you're just gonna start picking other people to be jealous at. So you'll be jealous at some girl in your school and then you're gonna find some girl in your college, you're gonna find some girl at your work, find some girl in your neighborhood, find some mom at the park you're jealous at. I mean, you're just gonna find these different people and just be like, ooh, I don't like them. I'm gonna go buy a new swagger wagon. Ooh, I'm just, there's all, that jealousy makes a really poor leadership tool. Selfish ambition, if your leadership is all about you, nobody's gonna follow you. Because who wants to like, who in their soul wants to help somebody get all of their selfish desires? Like, hey, you guys, I want to start a company so I can buy a Lamborghini. They're like, yeah, let's start the company, right? And then you never get paid because they're trying to get a Lamborghini. You're probably not going to be like, I want to stay here for so long. I am not getting paid at all, but I'm going to be so happy when that guy gets a Lamborghini. Okay, that's selfish ambition. The next one would be boasting. No one likes to follow ridiculously arrogant people. Like just people who are always talking about how bad they are, talking about how awesome they are, always saying like, I'm the biggest and the baddest. You'll see some people who will get underneath that and will be like, yeah, you are so big and bad. It's so great. But then eventually, Tracy Jordan, people don't want to follow you, right? Like Moe's and .com are ready to bounce on that. I don't know if that's the right name, but there's that boasting isn't going to be there. And if you're leading on a false pretense, false to the truth, if you're leading wrong, or if you're leading in the wrong way, like, hey, you guys, we're going to jump off of this building and fly. That's only going to work out for so long. And so most people don't want to follow that. When those things exist, those five, when leadership is led that way, here's what comes out of it. Disorder and every vile, which is a way of saying wicked, practice. So if those components are present in leadership and influence, boasting and selfish ambition, all of that, the only thing you're going to get is disorder and chaos. Right? So there's not going to be a lot of people who are going to fall in line with that. And then there's just going to be a lot of wickedness. Why? Because wickedness is leading people to wickedness. So if you lead in a wicked way, guess what? You're going to probably produce wickedness. And if you lead in poor ways, guess what you're probably going to produce? Poor. And the Bible says that that is unspiritual, earthly, and demonic. That doesn't get much more plain than that. Right? So there's a very unspiritual way to lead. So it's not like Jesus. It's a very earthly way to lead, just looking at the planet and doing that. And then demonic. I do not want to lead demons. That is not something I'm trying to pursue as a life goal. And so that was the way they said, when those things exist, disorder and every vile practice. So what happens with wise influence? He put these on the list. When you lead in a wise way, good conduct will always show good works. Right? So if you conduct yourself well, it's always going to lead to good work coming out of you. That another aspect of wise influence is meekness. Meekness isn't being a pansy, right? So meek people aren't just like those who are like, no. What it is like strength in check, right? So the easiest way I could put it is like guys who fight for the UFC sign a contract that would say that their fists and their bodies are weapons, and that if they get into a fight outside of the UFC with said weapons, they're going to jail. Because they have the ability to kill somebody. So if you fight for the UFC, it's not like you show up at bars and are like, who wants them? Right? Triangle. That's not, you'll go to jail for that. And so what happens? You'll see dudes who are in the UFC just walk around. And I've had a chance to meet a couple really sweet guys. And I say sweet, like, I'm like, oh, you're such so kind, right? But they would beat the junk out of me, right? So that's meekness. And learning to control your anger, emotions, feelings, and actions in conflict and in leadership is wisdom. That ultimately wise influence is first pure. Like your motives are pure when you're leading people. Best intentions, best desires, that you're pure, that you're peaceable, that your leadership isn't stirring up conflict. Like you're not trying to say, you know what you should do? Punch a girl in the face. Okay, that's not peaceable, right? And so just learning to lead people into peace and into places where calmness comes. That it's gentle. Like as a leader, you don't have to stand and bark orders all the time. That leadership isn't like that may lead for a while, but ultimately gentleness has got, I don't know what is going on right now. Broken. I broke it. That gentleness has got to be one of the ways that you lead. Otherwise, people are going to stop wanting to follow you. That as a leader, you're open to reason, and reason is just logical discussion. All right, so there are going to be illogical people who want to talk to you. But if you're open to having like, man, let's have a discussion. Let's talk this out. I'm in. And one of the things we try to convey here is I am not convinced that this is the best way to do everything. So if you're like, hey, you know, it'd be really awesome. I'm open to that. Let's reason together. But if you start throwing illogical junk out, like everybody who comes in should get $100. Okay, that's illogical. It sounds awesome, right? That would be so legit. I'm down. I'd be down every week to get $100. Man, that is like $400, $4,800 a year. I'm in. Sign me up. Right, everybody gets $5,000 for coming annually. Boom. That's illogical, okay? That it's full of mercy and good fruits. And so one of the reflections of your leadership should be that there's mercy and that there are good fruits coming. The people you lead, that they're better because they're following you, right? That it's impartial, that anybody can hang. Anybody can be led. Anybody can be with you. Anybody you can influence. And that it's sincere, that again, you're doing this as a reflection of your heart, being pure and peaceable and gentle. There's like, man, I really desire to lead you to better. Like that my desire for you is not me, but it's to say, man, I see better for you and I want to help you get there. And so what Acts 17 says is a passage we share all the time in this room. Acts 17 says about your life that Jesus made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their allotted periods, meaning when, and the boundaries of their dwelling place, meaning where, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he's actually not far from each of us. And so what Jesus says is that every one of us is given the ability to lead and to influence so that our character and good works would show Jesus. That at the end of the day, you have the ability to influence other people, because when you get out around other people, they're going to say, man, that feels like Jesus to me. And the last blank we've got for you is that just to lead to Jesus. That if you're going to influence anywhere, if you're going to guide anywhere, if you're going to have anything be as a reflection of where you're trying to lead people, let the first of it be influence and leading to Jesus. Right? Because here's what I'll say. You can get your friends to go watch a good movie. You're like, yo, you guys, I saw Haunted House. It was awesome. Marlon Wayans did the same thing he's done every time he's made a movie. It was so great. Right? That you could do that, and you could have friends go watch a haunted house. You could go eat really delicious food. You could drive by Freddy's, which is in front of Sam's Club, and you say, I just crushed some custard and hamburgers. Delicious. And you're going to have friends who are going to want to go eat those hamburgers and custard. You could listen to some music and be like, you know what the greatest song I've ever heard in my life is? Suit and Tie, Justin Timberlake. It's so dope, right? So you could say, man, you have got to listen to Justin Timberlake. I know that he was in NSYNC for a while, but don't judge the boy band. Brother's got game, right? So you could lead people to want to do that. So that is a reflection of leadership. That if you can get somebody to do something they wouldn't have done without you saying something, that's leadership. And so if you can lead people to food, movies, and boy bands, surely you can lead people to Jesus also. And if it's as easy for you to say, Taylor Swift is so great. I mean, her new song that we're never, ever, 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 ever getting back together unless I find somebody else again, that would be a way for you to say, okay, if I can get somebody to listen to Taylor Swift, that in itself is a miracle. Right? If I can get that to happen, then surely I can lead people to Jesus also. And so for us, for you, you are leading somebody somewhere. There is at least a person in your life that you're leading them to a destination. And my prayer for all of us would be that our leadership and our influence would ultimately begin with by leading to Jesus. And that your influence in your school, that you're causing your character to be known in your school, your conduct is reflecting on you in your school, you have the opportunity to lead your teachers to Jesus instead of just leading them to punk teenagerness, right? You have that opportunity. You have the opportunity to lead your friends at a lunch table. You can lead them to music. You can lead them to movies. You can lead them to whatever. Lead to Jesus. My prayer is that in this room, we'd have a group of people that would start leading more people to Jesus. And leading to Jesus is not leading to this room. All right? Like, that is very helpful, and that is very good. But man, my hope would be outside of this room, you could lead people to Jesus if you're with Jesus. Because if you know how to go to a movie and you're saying you know Jesus, surely you can lead there. So what I'm saying is if as you lead and as you influence everywhere, lead to Jesus. Now, Tyler's going to come up and he's going to start to lead us in some worship. And what we do is we just take about 20 minutes or so when we worship. And what that does is our way of saying, okay, this is what the scriptures say. This is what God has told us. And our hope is that as we worship and Tyler starts singing some songs that are in this way, right, that we'll start to go, all right, I'm starting to feel that. And about 20 minutes or so, we're going to say, hey, if you want to respond, here's some ways we feel like a response would be. All right, so Evan's going to throw that on the screen. We feel like there's just a couple ways that very practically you could respond tonight that we want to pray and invite Jesus in on that. The first would be if you don't know Jesus, man, my hope would be that I've led you in the scriptures and led you towards Jesus, not towards the sound of my voice or my cool charismatic personality. My hope has been that you've been like, man, I see that that's leading me to Jesus. And if that's true, then we want to provide opportunity for you to accept Christ. And so we want to pray with you on that. The next would be that maybe you've got some authority issues, parents, school, whatever, that you're like, man, I need some wisdom on how to deal with that. That we want to say, man, we want to enter in and pray on that. Maybe you need some wisdom on the timing of a scenario. You got something in your life that you need to talk about or deal with, and you just need wisdom on timing. That in your influence, that you, everybody in here has got influence, and maybe you just need some wisdom on how to influence more effectively. And then the last would be you just need influence on leading somebody to Jesus. And here's what's in the room. every one of us in the room who wears a badge, all of us had somebody lead us to Jesus, and all of us had that person get really nervous about trying to lead us. And we've all led people to Jesus, and we've all got really nervous about trying to lead other people to Jesus too. So welcome to the nervous club, all right? And so if you're saying like, man, I know that I have opportunity to influence the life of this person. I know I have opportunity to lead. I just need somebody to pray with me on that, that we want to do those things, all right? So let's stand to our feet tonight. And again, Tyler's going to lead us in some worship, and then we'll take some time to pray here in a little.